Welcome to another edition of the broadcast. This is Full Reality Weekend Edition right here on the We the People Radio Network. I am your host, Josh Reeves. I want to thank everybody for being here with us tonight for the broadcast. It is now officially Sunday, July 20th, 2008, and we will be live here for you for the next 2 hours. This is the newest show in the family of shows here on the We the People Radio Network. We had our inaugural broadcast last week, so thank you to everybody who tuned in last week. And we're going to get into a lot of various things on this show. What we like to do here on the Global Reality is to get into all aspects. All aspects, ladies and gentlemen, of the New World Order, past, present, future, and go deeper into it. You know, beyond just, just the levels of the obvious things that get talked about in the realm and scope of Freedom Radio, and that is basic things. You know, things like upholding the Constitution, freedom. Liberty. These are basic ideas that each and every one of us all share. But at the heart of the New World Order and at the heart of the people in the elite class that are really running the show and pulling the strings on the puppets, as it were, there is a whole another level of information, a whole other level of control that I think has been touched upon by a lot of sources throughout the years. In the realm of scope of radio and videos and documentaries, websites. But I think to really fully understand who our enemy is, we have to sort of be willing to go deeper into the information and as deep as we possibly can go to be able to find out who is in control. So last week we talked about the Council for National Policy. We talked about various mechanisms of control. This week we're going to delve into a little bit of spirituality versus religion. And we're going to talk about the Brotherhood of the Snake, which a lot of people may or may not be familiar with, but what the Brotherhood of the Snake was this ancient sort of brotherhood that came out of the ancient civilizations of Sumer, Assyria, later Babylon, and Egypt. And this is where what we know as sort of the secret societies such as Freemasonry and the Knights Templars, various organizations like that really got their start, and it also relates to the modern-day priest class. You have the ancient priest class who, back in the ancient civilizations and in older times, were the government folks. These were the people that made the laws, that really were in charge of the kingdoms and really had the true power and the knowledge that they used to enslave the people. So at the forefront of all of your secret societies is this group, because this was a group that only a small amount of people were allowed to be brought into. It was very compartmentalized. It had various degrees of teaching, much as we see that was later brought in through the various secret societies. So we're going to get into that. We're going to talk about that as well. Today on the show, go into that extensively. Won't be taking phone calls in the first hour. Probably open up the phone lines sometime in the second hour today, and then we'll also get into a big final segment news blitz at the end of the show as well. But there's all kinds of interesting news to talk about and lots of things to get into. I had an email forwarded to me last week. I was on the Lee Rogers Live Free or Die radio program, which airs every Saturday night right here on We the People Radio Network from 8 to 10 p.m. Central. Lee does a great show, and I want to thank Lee for getting behind me and the information and really facilitating my arrival here at WTPRN. But we had talked about the Council for National Policy, and I'd mentioned the Reverend Sung Young Moon, and I'm currently making a film on the Council for National Policy in this modern-day priest class. And this Reverend Sung Young Moon is a character that's come up very often. And I mentioned what hypocrisy it is for us to have these, alleged Christian right leaders, people like Tim LaHaye, Jerry Falwell, James Dobson, on and on and on. All these people, Pastor Hagee, this elite group. If you don't know who the Council for National Policy is, you need to do some research and look into that group. But this is a group that essentially is made up of, people like the Prince family of Blackwater, the Coors family, Major Funding, and various people of the evangelical right and the military-industrial complex. And I had mentioned how the Reverend Sung Young Moon was the biggest funder of the Council for National Policy, aside next to the Coors family. But, you know, one of the things I'd mentioned was how a lot of these people are into Scientology, and that, you know, you should have a problem with these alleged evangelical right people being into something like Scientology. Well, I mean, that's exactly what I said. You can go back and listen to that archive of Lee Rogers' show from last week if you like. But there was an email that got forwarded to me from a listener who just jumped all over me because, oh, you said Scientology was a globalist organization and L. Ron Hubbard was fighting globalism. Wait a second. Well, first off, I never said they were a globalist organization, but that's neither here nor there. And then this person proceeded to go on and tell me how I was wrong about Scientology and this, that, and the other. You know, I mean, I've exposed Christianity for being basically a just another form of these mystery religions that have come out of Assyria, Sumeria, Babylon, etc. And, you know, that's 100% provable. There are stories of the Messiah appearance and, you know, the virgin birth and the crucifixion and the resurrection throughout the world. Enki in Sumeria, Quetzalcoatl in the Mayan civilization, Onas, Viracocha, on and on. There are these all over the planet. And, you know, the story of 12 apostles being able to walk on water, the flood. These stories appeared all throughout the world in all various civilizations. But one of the things that is striking to me is that I haven't got any flack ever for really exposing and trying to get down to the heart of who controls religion as a mechanism of enslavement throughout the world, much like in Egypt, how they told the slaves that the sun was God. Well, they worshiped their own tri-pantheon of gods, keeping that knowledge and the, you know, the sacred knowledge of mathematics and really the key to running a stable society to themselves. And so I received this email and, you know, oh, you don't know what you're talking about and you're just copying what Tex Mar says about Scientology and L. Ron Hubbard was only knew Aleister Crowley for a little while. Well, look, I mean, it's the Ordo Templi Orientalis. But I'm not going to get into a discussion about Scientology. I'll leave that up to the to your own person. Bottom line is, anything that takes your money or tries to offer you spiritual enlightenment or spiritual unenslavement but requires mass amounts of money to do so, you should not be involved in. Number two, any religion started by a science fiction writer, I think, should be avoided as well, much less someone like Aleister Crowley, who was involved with Jack Parsons, who formed the Jet Propulsion Laboratory and created the solid rocket fuel boosters that are used on ICBM nuclear missiles, the various rockets, the space shuttle to this day. And they have a pentagram-shaped booster that allows for more solid fuel consumption. Now, that's not a conspiracy theory. You can go check that out. You can go look into that. And, you know, and some of all these various things with, you know, L. Ron Hubbard using the code name for years. But, I mean, they were basically the proteges of Aleister Crowley in the Ordo Templi Orientis, which is basically the Crowley version of Freemasonry, and they did all sorts of Anunnaki magic rituals and all this stuff. So, irregardless, from now on, if you'd like to send me an email, globalrealityshow@gmail.com is the email address. globalrealityshow@gmail.com. You can field all comments, questions, love mail, hate mail, guest suggestions, anything of that nature to that email address instead of forwarding them to the network. Because the bottom line of it is, and it's a real honor for me to be here on the We the People Radio Network, and it is a true bastion of free speech because, I mean, look, you know, everything that I might talk about in this show does not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of everyone else on this network or the network as a whole. The point of the matter is what I do is go in deeper into the information to give people a wide-spectrum view. Because if we're ever going to formulate solutions, folks, we have to know our enemy, we have to know who they are, we have to know everything about them, past, present, future, what they're into, what they believe, and it just so happens that the people that run this world are into all these sorts of crazy occultic things. That's not, you know, I mean, that's not me going to look for that, folks. I mean, it's there. We're having the Bohemian Grove encampment right now, up in Northern California, where they go and worship this owl. We talked about what that really means last week and how it goes back to these ancient societies and these ancient beliefs that, of their gods. You know, they don't just believe in one god, folks, or the monotheistic idea. That didn't even come about until the 20th dynasty of Egypt with the Amun-Ra. So every time you say Amen or Amen-Ra, you're giving thanks to the monotheistic sun god of the 20th dynasty of Egypt. So just keep that in mind. But, you know, I mean, the point of the matter is, you know, we're not the ones that are into this crazy stuff. They are. So it's our job to expose them and to get people to understand that what they're into is anything but what they claim it to be. That's really the key aspect of this. And so what we have is essentially we have a priest class that has, throughout the years, taken on forms of things such as the Vatican or the evangelical right or various people of this nature. And this has gone on for eons, since the inception of civilization on this earth. And there has always been at the forefront of this a group of people and individuals who have basically participated in what amounts to spiritual bondage, spiritual enslavement, to keep the masses at bay, to keep them calm, to keep them doing their jobs as the slaves as necessary, while the elite and the priest class have a completely different religion and a completely different set of dogma that they follow. So this group, the Brotherhood of the Snake, really details that, and we'll go into that probably coming up for you in the next segment. I wanted to mention this last week, and I didn't get a chance to get into it, and this is sort of right there with what we're talking about and the subject we're getting into tonight. Ancient Hebrew tablet sparks debate on Messiah. Scholars think it dates from before the birth of Jesus. This was a story that came out last week from Boston.com and the New York Times. A 3-foot-tall tablet with 87 lines of Hebrew that scholars believe dates from the decades just before the birth of Jesus is causing quite a stir in biblical and archaeological circles, especially because it may speak of a Messiah who will rise from the dead after 3 days. Such a messianic description really is there. It will contribute to developing reevaluation of both popular and scholarly views of Jesus because it suggests that the story of his death and resurrection was part of a recognized Jewish tradition at the time. Now, not just a recognized Jewish tradition, but also in the ancient civilizations of Sumeria, Egypt. I mean, for eons, these stories have been told of these appearance of these Messiah characters that would basically show up through various periods in time and attempt to bring information to the enlightenment of man. That was strange. But these things have gone on for a great amount of years. These stories have been being told throughout the planet. There is pretext for this all over the place. And so this new discovery of this tablet coming out is really just a confirmation of something that a lot of us have known for a great many years. The tablet probably found near the Dead Sea in Jordan, according to some scholars who have studied it, is a rare example of the stone with ink writings from that era, in essence, a Dead Sea scroll on stone. And, of course, they're trying to spin this now and say, well, it just shows that maybe the timeline for when we know Christ existed was wrong, when in reality what it shows and proves is that these stories of the Messiah coming down have been told and were told prior to the birth of Jesus Christ. And you know, there's a lot of evidence that leads towards that. That's essentially what we're going to be talking about also with this Brotherhood of the Snake. That's what it essentially describes, is this appearance of this God or gods or this Messiah that comes to earth every so often, every so through, you know, through various periods, oftentimes revolving around various ages of the zodiac, to bring information to man and for the enlightenment of man. But along the way, this was taken and put into compartmentalized structures of things such as Freemasonry, where this knowledge was kept an absolute secret and kept away from the population as a whole, and basically used for the enslavement to keep these people from ever knowing the true nature of life on this planet, what our destiny is, what we're truly capable of a species as being able to obtain and do, and his knowledge was kept in a small compartmentalized structure. So I think that when you start to unravel this, you start to unravel the people that are in control to this day, and these people that have this hidden knowledge. And before we're ever going to be able to ever formulate any sort of solution, it's going to take being able to find out what it is that's been kept from us from a great for a great many years. So we're going to get into coming up. We're coming up on a break here, and we're going to come back, and we'll talk about more of this information. We have news as well to get into today. There's this story that came out about a crop circle in England that depicts the 2012 end of the Mayan calendar. Very interesting. We'll talk about that as well. What else do we have? American Airlines testing anti-missile technology. That's another story we'll get into in the final segment news blitz today. As well as Vanity Fair editor arrested for infiltrating elite private club. So another person from a media outlet trying to infiltrate the Bohemian Grove and was caught, essentially. And if we have time, we'll also talk about what's coming up, the possibility of what we may see coming up in August. Logical date cap there, 818-888 as well. But coming up next, we're going to talk about the snake, Brotherhood of the Snake, right here on the Global Reality on the We the People Radio Network. Stay with us. Joe, thank you so much for being with us here tonight. Joe, everybody for tuning in. This is the Saturday edition of the broadcast from midnight to 2 a.m. Central Standard Time is the time that we do this, and this is the newest addition to the We the People Radio Network family of shows. And we're going to be talking tonight about this idea of spirituality versus religion and really how the people of the elite priest class and the modern-day priest class have kept this information hidden from the general public, and why that is, and how this turns and you know, really ties into the people who are really in control and wish to enslave humanity, and how this idea is nothing new. There are, you know, there is this talk and there are, you know, historical references for this enslavement of humanity going back to the beginning of life on this planet. But this thing called the Brotherhood of the Snake, and when you look into these ancient societies, things like Sumeria, Babylon, even in the Mayan culture, the serpent iconography, and Lee Rogers had mentioned this on his program earlier, and he was absolutely correct. This serpent iconography that you see throughout the world, and you see it in corporate logos, even in the caduceus of the medical industry, the serpent has always been really associated with knowledge and teaching. And so we're going to talk about this Brotherhood of the Snake, because this is really the nexus point, folks, for the priest class and how religion has been used to control the masses and how it really pertains to hidden knowledge that you and I are not allowed to have. Of all the animals revered in ancient human societies, none were as prominent or more as important as the snake. The snake was the logo of a group which had become very influential in early human societies of both hemispheres. The group was a disciplined brotherhood dedicated to the dissemination of spiritual knowledge and the attainment of spiritual freedom. This Brotherhood of the Snake, also known as the Brotherhood of the Serpent, but which we will often refer to simply as the Brotherhood, opposed the enslavement of spiritual beings, and according to Egyptian writings, it sought to liberate the human race from custodial bondage. Because the Brotherhood teachings included physical healing through spiritual means, the snake also came to symbolize physical healing. Today, the snake is featured in the logo of the American Medical Association, that is the AMA and the Caduceus. The Brotherhood also imparted scientific knowledge and encouraged the high aesthetics that existed in many ancient societies. For these and other reasons, the snake had become a venerated symbol to humans, and according to Egyptian and biblical text, an object of custodial hatred. When we look to discover who founded the Brotherhood, Mesopotamian texts point right back to the rebellious quote-unquote god, Prince Ea. And of course, if you don't know who Prince Ea is, look into that. Ea, Prince Ea, or Ea. And of course, that's where the name Earth came from. Ea, Earth, Ea, R-T-H. The realm of Ea. Ancient Mesopotamian tablets relate that Ea and his father Anu, and we talked about Anu last week. The father of Ea was Anu. And, of course, that's where Anu or Anu Naki came from. And Anu, his consort or wife, was Ishtar. And, of course, Ishtar is one of the goddesses, which is often found with the owl. So when they're worshiping the owl in Bohemian Grove, they're worshiping this mother goddess that goes back to the what they believe is the true god that spawned the creators that created humans. Anu possessed profound ethical and spiritual knowledge. This was the same knowledge that was later symbolized as trees in the biblical Adam and Eve story, and of course why you had a serpent in the Garden of Eden as well. In fact, the biblical tree symbol came from pre-biblical Mesopotamian works, such showing a snake wrapped around the trunk of a tree, identical to later portrayals of the snake in Eden. From the tree in the Mesopotamian depiction, hang two pieces of fruit. To the right of the tree is the half-moon symbol of Ea, and to the left is the planet symbol of Anu. The drawing indicates that Ea and Anu were associated with the snake and its teachings. This connection is affirmed by other Mesopotamian texts which describe Anu's palace in the heavens as being guarded by a god of the tree of truth and a god of the tree of life. Now, up until, I don't know, man, maybe a few hundred years ago, really not that far in the expanse of history, but for a great many years, the cross in Christianity was always adorned with a snake. Now, how many of you know that? How many people to this day even know that? And that was something that was stripped away and taken away because it's very telling. Once you see the snake wrapped around the cross, you are start to understand that that type of information, again, was something that was created by the priest class as a form of spiritual enslavement. In one instance, Ea reportedly sent a human to be educated in that very knowledge. Adapa, the name of early man, thou art going before Anu the king. The road to heaven thou will take when to heaven thou has ascended. And bear in mind that word ascended there. It has approached the gate of Anu, the bearer of life, and the grower of truth at the gate of Anu will be standing. We therefore find Ea designated as the reputed culprit who tried to teach early man, or Adam, spiritual freedom. This suggests that Ea intended his creation, Homo sapiens, to be suited for earth labor, but at some point he changed his mind about using spiritual enslavement as a means. If Ea was a true historical personality, as the Sumerians claimed, then he was the probable leader of the Brotherhood at its founding on Earth. The Brotherhood may have adopted the snake as its logo because Ea's first home on Earth was said to have been constructed by a serpent-infested swampland, which Ea called the Snake Marsh. Another possible explanation for the snake... Oh, I hate when I lose my place. The other possible explanation for the snake logo is said to come from the biblical word for snake, or Nahash, which comes from the root word nesh, meaning to decipher or to find out. So that's very interesting that the ancient biblical word snake would mean to decipher or to find out, and that ties into the hidden knowledge. Despite all of their reported good intentions, the legendary Ea, an early brotherhood, clearly failed to free the human race. Ancient Mesopotamian, Egyptian, and biblical texts relate that the snake was quickly defeated by other custodial factions. The Bible informs us that the serpent in the Garden of Eden was overcome before it was able to complete its mission and give Adam and Eve the fruit from the second tree. Ea, who was also symbolized as a snake, was banished to Earth and was extensively villainized by his opponents to ensure that he could never again secure a widespread following among human beings. And this is something that lately, when you study the ancient text of Sumeria, and you find out, you know, they talk about the ones that came down from heaven, which are referred to in the Bible as the Nephilim. They refer to them in Sumeria as the Anunnaki, the ones that seeded life on this planet. You start to find out that really what the Bible was originally intended to be, and what we know it as to be now, are two different things. And it's extremely interesting once you start finding out things like the Book of Enoch and all these, you know, various stories. I mean, come on, Genesis, folks, the gene of Isis. You know, and you start finding out that really what we have here with the Bible are these stories of ancient visitors, genetic manipulation, but what we've been led to believe that it is something completely different. And that's what starts to happen when you start to decode this information to find out, wait a second, we've been being lied to, we've been having this information kept from us. But despite all of their reported good intentions, the legendary Yah and the Brotherhood clearly failed to free the human race. The Yah's title was changed from the Prince of Earth to the Prince of Darkness. He was labeled other horrible epithets such as Satan, the Devil, Evil Incarnate, on and on and on. He was portrayed as the mortal enemy of a supreme being and as the keeper of hell. Snake, on the other side, you're listening to the Global Reality right here on the We the People Radio Network. Stay with us. The Global Reality We the People Radio Network. I tell you, we got to get that bumper pulled out of there. This is the third time it happened, twice last week. Every time we play that bumper, you can't hear me coming back from the break. So we're gonna have to get that fixed. Sorry about that. I didn't mean to let the tune play there, but it just seems to be overdriving the vocals when I come back. But we are here, and this is the Saturday night edition of the Global Reality on the We the People Radio Network. I am your host, Josh Reeves. We're talking about the Brotherhood of the Snake. And really how this idea of hidden knowledge being only in the hands of a small group of people in the priest class, and really how that started, and how that's what we see exactly today. It's no different than the people that are considered to be the modern day priest class, the people in the highest echelons of religions, government, the secret societies, etc. This is something that I think is really needs some attention paid to it, because, again, you have to know your enemy. You have to know who it is that you're up against before you can ever attempt to formulate any sort of solution long-term to these problems that we face against the New World Order. And this is one of the very, very key aspects of the New World Order. But I also do a weekday show on the TruthNet Radio Network. We're also being simulcast right here tonight over on the TrueNet Radio Network. So thank you to everybody over there listening. There's a chat room attached to the show that everybody's in. I want to thank everybody in there for listening. So that show airs from Monday through Friday from 1 to 4 p.m. Central Standard Time. Coming up next Tuesday on the show, we're going to have author Jim Mars on the broadcast. Jim Mars is going to be joining us for 3 hours, a three-hour show with Jim Mars. And you can check out my MySpace at myspace.com/globalrealityshow for showtimes and all the information there. So it should be interesting. We're going to be talking about his new book, The Rise of the Fourth Reich. And Jim's a great friend of mine, and he's the guy that was responsible for waking me up about 15 years ago. So it's always an honor to have him on. But let's get back into this information here about the Brotherhood of the Snake. All beliefs and practices, let me go back to this. Yah's title was changed from Prince of Earth to the Prince of Darkness, and he was labeled horrible epithets such as Satan and the Devil, and he was portrayed as the mortal enemy of a supreme being and as the keeper of hell. People were taught that his only intention was to spiritually enslave everyone, and that everything bad on earth was caused by him. Humans were encouraged to detect him in all of his future lives or incarnations, and to destroy him and his creations wherever he was discovered. Now, see, this is where it went from this, you know, Ea being the prince of earth and the one who brought knowledge to help humanity, and turned and switched to, wait a second, no, never mind, scratch that. No, he's not the guy that brought down information to help unenslave humanity. No, 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 this guy is Satan, and this guy is the devil incarnate. So if you see him, then run away from him and destroy him. You see, that right there is really the formation of things such as Christianity, and really the idea of monotheism, which, of course, monotheism is something that the slaves were given, while the elite priest class were given something completely different. And this is, you know, this is really where this idea came from of, oh, you know, the guy in the red pajamas with the pitchfork. Because that's why you see, you know, when you see where you say, well, these people are Luciferians. You know, George W. Bush and all these New World Order cronies, various creeds, they're Luciferians. They have a pentagram-shaped building of the Pentagon. Washington, D.C. is a big Egyptian necropolis, a big city of the dead. You've got, Queen Semiramis going back to Babylon and Sumeria yet again. Queen Semiramis, of course, is also known as Columbia. And, of course, what is Queen Semiramis? Well, Columbia, we have a big statue of her there in New York, brought given to us by French Freemasons. And so you see this goddess. Whenever you see the goddess, Columbia Pictures, what is Columbia Pictures? It has the big Statue of Liberty-looking thing at the beginning of it, right? That's the same thing. So when you hear people say, well, the New World Order cronies are Luciferians and they're Satan worshippers, really what it means is that they're practitioners of ancient knowledge that was later turned around and said, don't pay attention to that, it's evil, it's the devil. But really, it was the genesis point for the hidden information and the secret knowledge that has been compartmentalized and really kept only in the realm and scope of groups like the Freemasons. All beliefs and practices named after his various appellations, Satanism, devil worship, etc., were to be made so horrific and degrading that no right-thinking person would or should have anything to do with them. He and his followers were to be viewed as human beings with nothing but the utmost loathing. This is not to say that Ea was actually portrayed by ancient Sumerians as a saint. He was not. He was described in Mesopotamian texts with distinct character flaws. If Ea was a real person, then he appears to have been a genius who could get things done, but who was often careless about anticipating the consequences of how he went about accomplishing his goals. By engineering a work race, Homo sapiens, Ea wound up giving his enemies a powerful tool of spiritual repression. Ea then appears to be compounded by the blunder by founding and or empowering the early Snake Brotherhood, which after its reported defeat continued to remain a powerful force in human affairs. But under the domination of the very custodial factions that Ea and the original Brotherhood were said to have opposed. History indicates that the Brotherhood was turned under its new custodial quote-unquote gods into a chilling weapon of spiritual repression and betrayal. Despite the efforts by many sincere humanitarians to bring about true spiritual reform through the Brotherhood channels all the way up until today, by reportedly creating a work race in the Brotherhood of the Snake, the god Ea had helped build a trap for billions of spiritual beings on Earth. And we shall now begin to carefully document. The Brotherhood of the Snake has been the world's most effective tool for preserving mankind's status as a spiritually ignorant creature to toil throughout all of history. During all of that time and continuing today, the Brotherhood and its network of organizations have remained intimately tied to such things as the UFO phenomenon. This corruption of the Brotherhood and the overwhelming effect it would have on human society was already apparent by the year 2000 BC in ancient Egypt, the next stop on our journey. Perhaps the most impressive and controversial relics to come out of ancient times are the pyramids of Egypt. The remains of at least 70 to 80 of those structures are scattered all along the Upper Nile region as silent reminders of a once powerful civilization. The largest and most famous Egyptian pyramid is the Pyramid of Cheops, the Great Pyramid. It stands today beside several others on an elevated plateau in Giza, Egypt. The dimensions of this pyramid are impressive. It towers nearly 500 feet high and covers 13 acres of land at its base, built of stones, weighing an average 2.5 tons each. The entire structure is estimated to weigh 5,273,834 tons. A remarkable characteristic which makes the Great Pyramid one of the seven wonders of the ancient world is the precision of its construction. The stones of the pyramid were cut so perfectly that a sheet of paper cannot be inserted between the blocks in many places. The precision, coupled with the enormous bulk of the structure, helps account for the pyramid's long life and durability. The pyramid was built to last. Perhaps the greatest mystery surrounding the Great Pyramid was its purpose. Most pyramids are thought to have been burial tombs, and history tells us that the Great Pyramid was employed for other purposes as well. For example, some of its inner chambers have been used for mystical and religious rites, and yet a third was infinitely more practical use can also be found. The Great Pyramid is an excellent marker for aerial navigation. The four sides of the Great Pyramids precisely face the four compass points north, south, east, and west. And the sides are directed so exactly that the widest deviation is only 1/12 of a degree on the east side. In addition, the Great Pyramid is situated less than 5 miles south of the northern 30th parallel. Now that's very key. The Great Pyramid can therefore be used as a reference point for sectioning the entire planet into a three-dimensional grid of 30 degrees, 60 degrees, and 90. So we'll finish up talking about the Brotherhood of the Snake, the Pyramids, and a lot more on the other side. This is the Global Reality on the We the People Radio Network. I'm your host, Josh Reeves. Stay with us.
Online and on demand, this is We the People Radio Network.
Back, ladies and gentlemen, this is the Gold Reality on the We the People Radio Network. I'm your host, Josh Reeves, and welcome you to this edition of the podcast. We got a lot more news and information to get into on the rest of the show tonight for you right here on this late night edition. We appreciate everybody staying up late with us tonight. You can check me out at myspace.com/globalrealityshow. Also check out rowgovernment.com and blacklistednews.com as well. Those are the official news websites of the Global Reality. You can also subscribe to the podcast for the Global Reality up on rowgovernment.com. You can get all of our shows that we do 6 days a week fed into your iPod or iTunes there every day of the week for free. So we highly encourage you to check that out as well. Right now we're talking about this. The Brotherhood of the Serpent, the Brotherhood of the Snake, and how this is the original nexus point and really genesis point for all secret societies and hidden knowledge. And what's interesting is that when you look into these ancient societies, you start to figure out that one of the reasons that a lot of this information has been kept from us is because these people believe that life on this planet, or they believe that they are essentially were put into the roles of kingship based on their bloodlines that were seeded from people that came from the heavens, or a.k.a. other planets. This is really at the heart of the hidden knowledge, of the secret knowledge, why, you know, you have such obsession with planetary bodies in ancient societies, ancient religions, Freemasons being obsessed with Sirius, all this talk of Sirius and the Lightbringer, and Lucifer being the Lightbringer. Sumeria was also known as the land of the Lightbringer as well. But what you start to find out is that, you know, these people believe that life on this planet was seeded from other places, and that they are the genetic, basically the genetic progeny of these visitors that came from other places. Now, this is interesting because this Brotherhood of the Serpent was said to have been started by this person, Ea. And, you start to find out that the pyramids and this knowledge that was brought down was also, brought down and only put into the hands of a small group of people. And so when you find out that the pyramids basically can be used as a navigation point from the sky, that starts to become very interesting. I have no doubt that the information for, ancient visitors or people that came down out of the heavens on flaming chariots is voluminous throughout history. I mean, you can look into, there is ancient aboriginal paintings that show, craft with people standing in them and whatnot. But I don't believe what we see now in this day and age are that type of thing. I believe these people have had technology. Read a book called The Day After Roswell by Philip J. Corso, who was a former high-level Pentagon official and who had worked on various black operations for the United States government. He talks about how the United States government had these Hughes Satellite Corporation. You might know who they are. Hughes Satellite actually makes wireless internet, satellite internet providing to this day. But as early as 1973, the United States government had Hughes Hunter-killer satellites. But Philip J. Corso claimed were capable of being able to shoot down basically UFOs, and that they've been back engineered. And I've talked to many people who have been in the military who said no doubt about it, we've back engineered technology. Things like the transistor came from that as well. But I think that what we're seeing in this day and age, there's a rash of this UFO indoctrination going on right now. This, Larry King just ran another UFO special Friday night. Every day now when I do my news gathering for my show, there's some sort of UFO sighting. They're having a rash of sightings over in England. We've had some here in the United States going back to January this year, Stephenville, Texas, on and on and on. And I think this is a clear indicator that they are getting ready to unleash some sort of false flag alien event or invasion event as a pretext to get everyone bonded and together under the New World Order and to use their first strike nuclear capability as a pretext for disarmament. Now, I go back to what Dr. Wernher von Braun, ex-Nazi, head of the Nazi space program, brought over to the United States, put to work in NASA after World War II in Project Paperclip. He told his assistant, Carol Rosen, in 1973, all the way up to the time of his death, that first the phony threat would be communism. And when that didn't work, then it would be terrorism. This threat of terrorism. Wow. Well, I mean, even if we just stop right there, folks, for that to have been said by Wernher von Braun in 1973, and you look into his pedigree of what he worked on, one of the most brilliant space scientists. Of course, Hitler was working on these craft. They was working on making the UFOs. I mean, BMW folks made the engines for these things. You can go find the documents and have BMW engines in these UFO looking craft that Hitler was working on, and Wernher von Braun was in charge of. So even if you stop right there, I mean, that's some pretty good prediction, isn't it? For 1973, for him to say first the threat would be communism, then it would be terrorism. And then when that didn't work, it would be a staged alien invasion, and all of it would be a lie as a pretext for the installation of the space-based weapons. What have we seen? I went and pulled a few months ago. I went and went to the Department of Defense's own website. You can go to the DOD, DOD.gov, and you can pull up military spending for fiscal year 2008, 2009 on space-based weapons. And what do we see? More money spent in fiscal year 2008 and more money scheduled to be spent in 2009 for space-based weapons than any other time. And back a few months ago when we had this, there was this talk of this satellite that was going to crash into the United States, and it had radioactive elements on it, was a secret spy satellite, and they were, it was all this talk of, well, are we going to shoot it down here? Are we going to shoot it down there? Who knows? And I remember at the time I went on air and I predicted it. I said, they're going to shoot this thing down right at the apex of the eclipse that we had coming up. And people said I was crazy and all. And I said, no, look, man, this is what these people are into. Okay? There is a ritualistic nature to everything that they do. Everything they do has a ritualistic aspect to it. 9/11 very much had a ritualistic aspect to it. Look into it. But, I was sitting there saying, look, and lo and behold, what did they do? They shot it down right at the point of the full apex of the eclipse. And not only that, it was also while they were right in line with Sirius, which is another one of these things that the elites and the Freemasons are obsessed with, and And they happened to shoot it down right over Hawaii at the 33rd degree of the 33rd parallel. And so it's interesting that, as we're talking about now, this ancient knowledge that came from Sumeria and what is now Iraq, what did they do first thing, folks, after the invasion of Iraq in 2003? What was the first thing they did? They blew the doors off the Iraq National Museum, and they went in and they took all of the artifacts pertaining to Sumeria. And they took these statues of these alien beings. That's exactly what they are, folks. I mean, I'm sorry to have to tell you, that's what they are. And they took these, and no one knows what's happened to them. And so, you know, what we see happening, what we see going on, is this obsession with these numbers, obsession with these ancient civilizations. Of course, ancient Mesopotamia, what is now Iraq, was once known as Cydonia. And it just so happens that the area on Mars, known as Cydonia, is where the pyramids are located and where this alleged face on Mars is located. Also on the 33rd degree, where is ancient Sumer located? There in Iraq, the 33rd degree. It just so happens that the first ever civilization was set up right in the land where all the oil happens to be. And these people that are in charge now who do everything based on their bloodlines, by the way, we're going to do some shows coming up on the bloodlines extensively for you in coming shows. But these people keep their bloodlines pure. You know, you can trace the Bush family bloodline all the way back in the expanse of history to the dynasty of King Ramses II, folks. Okay? And also, you know, I mean, that was my thing. It was like, okay, we know what they were going into Iraq for. You know, obviously, a lot of the obtaining of these ancient artifacts. So I was, you know, when, okay, well, we're hearing about Iran now. And then we know that we've heard from people like Aaron Russo, who was told by Nick Rockefeller that first it would be Iraq, then Iran, then Venezuela. So I was going, okay, well, what sort of ancient artifacts are in these places? So lo and behold, I go and find this thing in Iran called the Behistun inscription. And the Behistun inscription has, wow, it's a giant, I mean, this thing is massive, carved on a rock wall, has an inscription at the bottom that was supposedly inscribed by someone named Queen Semiramis. And I'm going, wait a second, Queen Semiramis is Columbia, the District of Columbia. Hold up, that's a little strange. We also have Queen Semiramis being the Statue of Liberty. And lo and behold, you have another winged disc, which is the winged disc of Horus. Of course, the Eye of Horus is the eye and the all-seeing eye on the back of your dollar, ladies and gentlemen. And then, of course, there's 12 people or 12 apostles underneath him. And this Behistun inscription in Iran, which, by the way, is a UNESCO World Heritage Site, coincidentally, I'm sure. But they go on to talk about how all the rulers in the bloodline descendants of King Darius are the ones that are supposed to rule over these 23 lands. And, of course, these 23 lands have ancient names, but you go and look, and it's the entire Middle East. So, essentially, these people believe they have the bloodline right to rule over the lands where all the is. It's unbelievable. We'll talk about some more second hour around the corner right here on the We the People Radio Network. Stay with us. Second hour of the Global Reality right here on the We the People Radio Network. I am your host, Josh Reeves. I want to welcome everybody for staying up late with us tonight. This is the show where we go deeper. We go deeper into all aspects of the New World Order. We decode past, present, and future, ancient societies, secret societies, hidden knowledge, and all of it, as well as news and information. Because, you know, for a long period of time, there has been a great deal of interest in this type of material. There has been a lot of people that have really not know where to connect the dots. And when you start connecting the dots and finding out what these people are really into, I believe that you have a much better chance of being able to formulate solutions on how to fight these people. And that's what we need. You know, that's what's great. A network like We the People Radio Network is so great, because you have so many great shows here that are covering all aspects. You know, you have people that are covering constitutional issues. You have people that are covering, you know, medicinal issues, things with vaccines, RFID. You have people that are covering 9/11 and trying to get information out about 9/11 being an inside job, trying to wake the masses up to false flag terrorism. So, you know, you have a real multi-leveled information assault going on, and that's great. I mean, that's what it's going to take. That's what we are going to be able to use to defeat these people, is the fact that we have the truth and we have information on our side, and they have nothing but lies and hate. And let me tell you something, folks, that won't last forever. That won't last forever. And these people are not counting on us waking up, and they're sure as hell not counting on us taking a multi-tiered attack at them. Because everything they do has multiple tiers. I mean, you look at anything. Look at any event throughout history, be it 9/11, be it Oklahoma City, the Kennedy assassination, the Gulf of Tonkin incident, any historical event that we haven't been told the truth about. If you want to look at any of those events, they all have a multiple-tiered effect. You know, let's just use 9/11 as an example. With 9/11, you had the installation of the police state, the tracking and tracing control grid, the lies to get us into the wars in Afghanistan and Iraq, and in these you know, global wars for domination, and the expansion of a greater Israel. And that's, you know, that's one of the key things about 9/11 to me. I mean, 9/11 truth to me is a double-edged sword. And I'm somebody who really was heavily behind 9/11 truth for a great many years, made a film about 9/11 called 9/11 New World Rising, which you can watch at newworldrisingmovie.com, and so have DVDs for sale there if you'd like to support the broadcast and support our future films that we have coming up. We have a new film we're working on right now. And you can also visit myspace.com/globalrealityshow. But that's one of the main things is that I've found with a lot of, you know, when once you have time to sit with information, you've had it for a great deal of time, you're able to really process it. And that's why 9/11 truth to me is a double-edged sword at this point. Yeah, really, you have this thing where, you know, it can be used to wake people up to the truth about false flag terrorism, but also is a double-edged sword as far as, you know, the fact that what people are concentrating on is really, oh, it's just Dick Cheney and George W. Bush are the only ones behind this, and, oh, it was just this evil American government, when in fact, you know, folks, I mean, the Mossad connections to 9/11 are very prevalent and are very there. I hear that Jason Burmes is going to make a film exposing those connections. I think that's great, because, look, folks, if we don't get out all the aspects and all the levels of the truth about 9/11, it's going to be used to bring down this country. It's going to be used to demonize us to the rest of the world. They're going to expose 9/11 truth on a grand scale and say, oh, look at the horrible Americans. They attacked themselves and did this and bought the lie. They need to go down. And that is exactly what the entire plan of the New World Order is to bring down this country. We are the last vestige of sovereignty standing in the way of global government. And I don't know about you, but I'm not going to go quietly into the night of that. I'm not going to sit back and let these, you know, these elites and this priest class who have this hidden knowledge, who think they have this bloodline right to rule because they come from some ancient bloodline that came from, you know, the Anunnaki or whatever it is, because they believe they are the only pure bloodlines out there. This is why you have people like the Merovingian bloodline, or the royal Davidic bloodline going back to Solomon. And that's where your, you know, sort of your Saxe, Coburg, Gotha bloodline that became the Windsors came from. The Windsors are a Germanic bloodline, folks. They're about as British as I am, okay? I mean, that's the lie of it. And you have things like the Russell Trust, which, of course, was the formers of the Bavarian death cults, which spawned things like Charles Taze Russell, a Merovingian who formed the Jehovah's Witness. You also have other Merovingians, notable Merovingians, such as Joseph Smith, Brigham Young. The Merovingians have always been predominantly in behind wars and the control of religion. And this is really where, as we've been talking about the Brotherhood of the Snake, this is really who has been in charge of that has been the Merovingians. And then you have your sort of royal Davidic bloodline, and that's the sort of end of, you know, multinational corporations, the crown, sort of your Bilderberg end. You know, so that's why when people get into these, that's one of the things I'm going to be exposing in my new film, The Secret Right, because this group, the Council for National Policy, I mean, you have Christian Zionists is sitting at the table there. You have Merovingians, Knights of Malta members. Of course, the Sovereign Military Order, the Knights of Malta, is the war arm of the Vatican. They have their own sovereign nation. And that's the main thing. Is there's always this stuff where, oh, it's the Jesuits running everything. It's the Zionists running everything. Instead of just getting down to the base root of it and going, look, it's evil people all around, and all these people were involved. It's a murder on the Orient Express ideology, folks. There are aspects of all these, but still you see people try to divide people between these, you know, conversations about, no, it's this group in charge, you're wrong. No, it's this group in charge, you're wrong. Well, it doesn't matter what group, and the late, great Bill Cooper said it the best. And there's a quote you can watch, there's a video you can watch where Bill Cooper says that. You know, it's all of these groups, and it's all of the groups that have been into the mystery religions and have had the ancient knowledge and have kept that from people for a great period of time. Let's finish up here talking about this, how the Great Pyramids can be used as a reference point for sectioning the entire planet into a three-dimensional grid of 30 degrees, 60 degrees, in 90-degree angles with the North Pole, South Pole, the equator, and the center of the Earth as reference points. This feature is especially useful because the Great Pyramid is located at the center of the Earth's landmasses. Knowing only the dimensions of the Earth and having a method of calculating how far one has traveled, one can effectively navigate, especially by air, from the Great Pyramid to any point on Earth using the 30, 60, 90-degree grids and the compass directions indicated by the pyramid. The only deviation comes from the fact that the Earth is not a perfect sphere, but is slightly flattened at the poles and widened at the equator. However, this deviation is so slight, amounting to only 26.7 miles, that it is easily compensated for. Interestingly, when the Great Pyramid was first built, it was even more valuable as an aerial navigation marker than it is today, because it had been covered with a casing of fine white limestone. The limestone blocks were carved so precisely that the pyramid looked from a distance as though it had been hewn from a single white rock. The limestone reflected the sun, making the pyramid visible from a much greater distance. The unique characteristics of the pyramids at Giza raise interesting questions about these monuments. Since they serve as an aerial navigation function as well, were they built at least partially for that purpose? If they were, who could have possibly had use for them in 2000 BC? A possible clue to the riddle may lie on the moon. And a Washington Post story, which was picked up later by the Los Angeles Times, described a lunar photograph snapped 2 days earlier by U.S. space probe Orbiter 2 as it passed 20 to 30 miles above the moon's surface. The photograph seems to reveal six spires arranged in a purposefully geometric pattern inside a small portion of the Sea of Tranquility. The pointedness of lunar object shadows indicates that they are all either cone or pyramid-shaped, although the official NASA press release mentions nothing unusual about the photograph. Other people found the picture remarkable. Dr. William Blair of the Boeing Institute of Biotechnology stated, if the cuspids and cone-shaped spires really were the result of some geophysical event, it would be natural to expect to see them distributed at random. As a result, the triangulation would be scalene and three unequal size or irregular, whereas those concerning the lunar object led to a bacillary system or with a coordinate X, Y, and Z to the right angle. Six isosceles triangles in two axes consistently consisting of 3 points each. Most of the limestone is gone today, except for a few blocks at the base of the Great Pyramid. The great limestone casing had been excavated away from the pyramids beginning in the first millennium A.D. Argosy magazine, Soviet space engineer Alexander Abramov went on to state further that the distribution of these lunar objects is similar to the plan of the Egyptian pyramids constructed by the pharaohs Cheopas, Chephren, and Mankura of Giza near Cairo. The centers of these spires of this lunar abaca, or arrangement of the pyramids, are arranged in precisely the same way as the three great pyramids. And, you know, there's this formation here, not too far from where I live in Dallas, Texas. In the late 1990s, there was a formation that was found called, they call it the Rock Wall, the mysterious Rock Wall in Rock Wall, Texas. And what they found is they found a structure that is basically like, I don't know, 20 miles in diameter, something like this, that's buried, and it's underneath this city. And they found all sorts of interesting things, like the fact that this is made of these two geopolymers. This thing predates any known civilization on Earth. It was essentially a seawall, meaning the sea once came all the way up to North Texas at once, not millions of years ago, but thousands of years ago. I mean, they found sea dollars at the bottom of this thing, folks, that still had fresh meat in. But I'm helping some friends work on a documentary on this rock wall. I'm going to be narrating it and cutting that together. So hopefully we'll have that out for you in the next month or two, and you guys will be able to check that out and look at this. Because, I mean, there's a real big blackout on this. No one wants to look into it because it really questions everything we know. I mean, they found 18-foot-tall skeletons in front of this thing, folks. Yeah, no joke. But to have something like that, that ancient right here in my own backyard, is pretty unbelievable, considering that no one has ever wanted to look into it. But we're going to be blowing that information out for you and really trying to bring this to the forefront, maybe spark some interest in trying to do new digs to find out that information. We'll have some guests on for you in the future pertaining to the rock wall once the film is done. But I'm really going to stop right here. This goes on for way too long. I can spend the rest of the show talking about it, but let me go back into the rest of the information pertaining to the Brotherhood of the Pyramids. Such intense loathing is certainly not surprising. In order to get the pyramids built, Egyptian society was made more repressive in order to make human labor operate with greater machine-like efficiency. Occupations became rigid so that it was difficult to move from one type of job to the other. Laymen ceased to serve the gods. An impenetrable priesthood was erected instead. Personal happiness and achievement were sacrificed in the name of labor productivity. Feudalism had arrived in Egypt. And so that's what we see today. I mean, what do we see today? We see a modern-day feudalist system being implemented on the public where, you know, the serving of the elites is considered to be higher than any sort of, you know, personal spiritual aspirations. As the pharaohs were busy helping to make slaves out of their fellow humans, the gods were making fools out of the pharaohs. Imhotep, reputed son of the god Ptah, instituted the concept of the pharaoh as the god king. This elitist title was little appreciated by most Egyptians. As god kings, the pharaohs were made to think that they were elevated above the toiling human multitudes. The pharaohs were taught that if they cooperated with custodial plans, they would escape the human predicament by joining the gods in the heavens. There was just one catch. The pharaohs would be allowed to escape Earth only after they had died. Pharaohs were taught the silly idea that if they had their dead bodies carefully preserved, the bodies would be brought back to life, and they could join the custodial gods in the heavens. Some pharaohs, like Cheopas, also buried large wooden boats near their tombs, and according to some scholars, the pharaohs believed that their entombed boats, or solar barks, would be magically returned and exhumed and endowed with the same power that caused the boats of the gods to fly. So, you know, whatever these ancient ones that came out of the sky that the ancient texts talk about, the pharaohs were led to believe that they could enter these boats and they would also be led to fly too. So you see how this compartmentalization happened with even with the pharaohs, because, you know, just like, you know, George W. Bush has a boss, or just like, you know, I mean, the Rothschilds, who basically run everything. They run the monetary system. They run the world. But who controls the controllers? But there's always a level of that, isn't there? I mean, no matter what you look into, no matter what you find, there's always a level of control above the next person in the chain of command. You always find, I mean, you know, whoever it is, they always have a boss. They always have someone over them. And so that's the same thing they had with the pharaohs. They just didn't know it. Everything was compartmentalized. This is where compartmentalization came from. And nothing has changed, folks. From the ancient civilizations to now, I mean, we may have higher technology. We may have, you know, think that we're above people who lived thousands of years ago. But in reality, it's business as usual. And the business as usual is the business of the New World Order and creating world government in the enslavement of mankind. I mean, folks, they openly talk about in their own documents, in their own priest club, you know, Club of Rome, Committee of 300. I mean, how many times have we seen, and how many examples do we have where they openly state that the greatest threat for them to be able to achieve their plan is humanity? And there's this disconnect. There's this disconnect where they consider themselves to be different than us. They talk, oh, humans are like dogs. They're humans are animals. They'll turn on each other and eat each other when they're hungry. And that's what these elites say. You know, I pity all you useless eaters, as David Rockefeller says. And so there's this disconnect where you're saying, wait a second. If you're a human and I'm a human, how can you talk about yourself as if you're separate from the rest of human race, of the human race, and how we are the biggest ones in the way of your agenda and plan? And that's why we are going to be the ones that defeat these people, because we are the biggest threat to their agenda. Let's take a break, come back. We'll talk about more news and information on the other side. This is the Global Reality on the We the People Radio Network. Stay with us.
The freedom message,
waking up people everywhere.
I'm Ron Paul, and you're listening to We the People Radio Network.
All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You are listening to the Global Reality Saturday Night Edition right here on the We the People Radio Network. I am your host, Josh Reeves. I want to thank everybody for tuning in and being with us here tonight for the show. We're discussing this idea of ancient societies, secret societies, and the Brotherhood of the Snake, and how this modern-day priest class that is really at the head of all governments, at the head of all secret societies, at the head of things like the Vatican or various, you know, the evangelical right, on and on and on, and these compartmentalized structures have really been at the forefront of spiritual bondage and enslavement for eons. And one caveat I want to add to this information, because there's a lot of people, you know, some people are just, we have various people, here's the thing. You have people that are at various levels of understanding, various levels of being awake, ladies and gentlemen. Okay? You have people that have just come into this information. You have people that have been in this information for 3, 4, 5 years. And then you have people who have been in this information for 15, 20 plus years. And as I was mentioning earlier, you know, that's why I think it's great to have a network like We the People Radio Network that does cover so many different issues and is such a bastion of free speech, and which we don't have very many left of in this world anymore, folks. That's why it's important to support networks like We the People Radio Network with your donation, your support of the sponsors. All the links to the sponsors are up on the We the People Radio Network. There's also a shipping banner there if you'd like to contribute to the network. It's vitally important, your support, to help us keep bringing you these great shows that we have here on this network, and I'm just honored to be a part of it, because that's really the angle I come from, is the fact that, you know, we do have various levels of attack from the New World Order. They are hitting us on various levels with, you know, high and low in all aspects of life. And I think that's why it's important that we formulate our solutions and we formulate our attack patterns against them in the same way. And so there are people that are sort of, you know, striving for that next level of understanding. You know, they know about false flag terrorism. They know about, you know, the CFR. They know about the Bilderberg Group. They know about all these things. You know, dual Israeli citizens in the United States government, on and on and on. But then you have people that are searching for that next level. They want to know what, you know, how do you go deeper? How do you find out what is deeper? And so, regardless of whether or not I believe this information or not is irrelevant, I think a lot of this stuff is quackery, to be honest with you. I just simply bring you the information and try to give you a perspective of what they believe. Not what you and I believe. But see, the problem with that is you get a lot of psychological resistance to this information, because people end up saying, well, that can't be true, and you shouldn't even be talking about it, because it challenges their religious paradigms and everything else. You've got to throw your religion out the door, folks. You got to throw that out the door. That's one of the main pieces of this program I wanted to talk about tonight, is spirituality versus religion. And religion is something that's been set up by humans for eons, going back to these ancient civilizations in Sumeria, as a mechanism of control for the slaves. This has always been something the elites have set up. Religion has been set up by elites. And so if we're fighting elites, then following religions that have been set up since the dawn of man on this earth by elites should be something that we're questioning and trying to get to the heart of. And that's what you really find when you start looking into this Brotherhood of the Snake, is how all of these, I mean, everything we know of, the Illuminati, on and on and on, all spawned from this original Brotherhood. And again, that's, you know, that's the main thing, is that we are spiritual entities. We exist in a physical realm, but, I mean, there's no doubt about it. There's, you know, there is scientific proof that, you know, that we, there is, you know, this etheric energy that not only surrounds the earth, but surrounds all life that there is, you and I and all the rest of it. And that's what I think we have to get back to. You know, when you read the ancient text, when you read the Freemasonic text, when you start researching the hidden knowledge, at no point, ladies and gentlemen, does any of this give any indication that it's supposed to be used for good or for evil. That's the thing. And there's a lot of, and that's the thing, Coach, too. There's a lot of disinformation out there in the realm and in scope of, you know, things like the Freemasons. You know, you'll hear predominantly that the Freemasons are a Luciferian group and this is all about Satan worship. And that's really, folks, that's really sort of neutralizing the info. That's really not the case. You have 3% of all of the upper levels of these people that are really into the evil stuff. But I highly encourage you to look in and read, you know, go read their writings for yourself. I mean, I have get a second edition of Morals and Dogma like I have. You know, get a copy of Morals and Dogma, read it. One thing you'll find, yes, they'll talk about Lucifer and the Lightbringer. Yes, they'll talk about how Freemasonry is all based on this ancient Kabbalistic magic and how they pay allegiance to all these various things. But what you won't find is ever any indication as to whether this information is supposed to be used for good or whether it is supposed to be used for evil. The information simply is, its application is insistent upon the hands of the person who falls into it. Which is exactly why, folks, in 1776, the Rothschilds funded Adam Weishaupt, their who was a Jesuit, and of course the Rothschilds are your Ashkenazi end of the Zion, who later formed Zionism and the State of Israel, on and on and on. And again, that's one of the things that my film, The Secret Right, with his Council for National Policy that we're going to show, was how all these groups have colluded together for centuries. You know, it hasn't been just recently that, you know, oh, the Zionists and the Jesuits and whatnot all came together. I mean, no, they've been together and have formulated every major political movement, the false left-right paradigm, the secret societies, you know, the banking system. Everything that we see is the elite control for centuries. And so in 1776, the Rothschilds funded Adam Weishaupt to infiltrate the Masonic lodges for the secret knowledge. This is the point when he started seeing the Hermetic Seal of Solomon, a.k.a. better known to the rest of the world as the Star of David. But the Star of David is the Hermetic Seal of Solomon. This was emblazoned upon the inside interior of the Temple of Solomon. And he used this thing called the Goetia. Now, look into the Goetia. G-O-E-T-I-A, I believe is how you spell that. Yeah, Goetia. And basically, what you look into is you look into the Goetia, and you find out that King Solomon had allegedly had this book called the Goetia, where he was able to, by his own admission, essentially call up angels and demons at will as a pretext to be able to control humanity. And this is what the basically what the Hermetic Seal of Solomon, the Star of David, was used as. And this is when you started seeing it appear in Masonic lodges, was after 1776. So once he got his Rothschild money to infiltrate the Masonic lodges, get the secret knowledge that came from this Brotherhood of the Snake, and to use it for the enslavement of mankind, this is when he formed his group, the Illuminati. And he then brought together the best and the brightest around the world to be able to formulate this idea of global government in a new world order. And there's a book published, I think it was published in 1785, ladies and gentlemen, 1785, called Proofs of a Conspiracy. Proofs of a Conspiracy, written 1785, and it's documents this gentleman who allegedly was asked to join this group, the Illuminati, and how they were seeking to form its idea of a one-world government. So all the way back to 1785, we hear people referencing the New World Order and this idea of the elites trying to form a New World Order for control. Subsequently, after that is when you had Adam Weishoff pass the Illuminati on to Giuseppe Milner, I believe was his name. And then after that, it was passed on to Albert Pike. And who was passed on past the death of Albert Pike, we don't know. But, you know, you start to see that at some point this information was supposed to be used for these, you know, enlightenment of humans. But once the Rothschilds got their hands on it, it's been used ever since for the enslavement of mankind. So we'll finish up talking about the Brotherhood of the Snake on the other side, and then we'll get into the final segment news blitz coming up for you in the last half of the show. This is the Global Reality of the People Radio Network. Stay with us. Back here with you on the Global Reality on the We the People Radio Network. I'm your host, Josh Reeves, and we thank you for being here with us tonight. I'm not going to have time to go to any phone calls tonight, ladies and gentlemen. I've got too much more information I've got to get into in the rest of the show here. So I apologize to all our callers, but we just didn't have time to open up the phone lines tonight. We may or may not take phone calls every show. I try to take phone calls when I can, but you can call me back on the weekday show if you have any questions, anything that I do. Weekday show over on the TruthNet Radio Network, Monday through Friday, from 1 to 4 p.m. Central Standard Time, 3-hour show over there. We get into a lot of this information, a lot of news as well, and we bring you a lot of good guests over there, and we're able to bring you guests for the full 3-hour show. And coming up on Tuesday, this Tuesday, the 22nd, we will have Jim Mars. Jim Mars on the Global Reality Tuesday on the TruthNet Radio Network for 3 hours. You can get all the information at my MySpace at myspace.com/globalrealityshow. That's myspace.com/globalrealityshow. You can also email me at globalrealityshow@gmail.com. That's globalrealityshow@gmail.com. So, yes, we will be having him on there, and that's where you can check me. We're also being simulcast over on the TruthNet Radio Network. So thank you to everyone listening over there. It's great to have other networks and whatnot pick up the show here, and thank you so much for that. Let's finish up now talking about the Brotherhood of the Snake, and then we'll come back in the next segment, and we've got a huge big news blitz coming up for you in the final segment. The secret societies have been present in the history of man for a very long time. It's all started thousands of years ago with the Brotherhood of the Snake, a secret society set up by an alleged alien named Ea or Enki. This story is very carefully told in the Sumerian scriptures, which go back at least 6,000 years. There it says that man was created by a race of people who came to this planet to exploit its resources, especially gold, but the work was heavy, so the race wanted someone else to do the hard work. Thus, Ea, who was a brilliant scientist, created Homo sapiens as a hybrid between the primitive Earth life form and the alien race. Now, this is what's interesting about this, about these ancient Sumerian texts when you read them. They talk about how they created the humans as a slave race, and how they first created a race called the Darkheads. And these eventually is what became Africans. Then they talk about how they created a race called the Mongols, and these eventually what became Asians and Indians. And then they said that they created the last batch with the most Anunnaki DNA, and that was called the Caucasoids. And they were put in the positions of kinghood. Now, this is why, folks, you had Hitler and the Nazis going to these ancient civilizations. This is why you had these people going and looking for these ancient remnants of the quote-unquote Aryans or the giants. This is why. Because they believe that the whole master race thing, folks, comes from this idea that the elites were came from this most Anunnaki DNA that these ancient visitors created man out of. This is why the obsession with keeping their bloodlines pure has been there. This is why, you know, you look into the, just take one small example of the royal crown. You know that Prince Charles had Prince William cut out of Princess Diana's womb in the middle of, just at the beginning of solstice, and also so it wouldn't interfere with his like rugby schedule or something like that. I mean, absolutely ridiculous stuff. We recently had Prince William be inaugurated into the Order of the Garter. And then you look into the Order of the Garter, and this is a high-level Illuminati secret society. And allegedly, by their own admission, when you go read the documents, you go read the website on the Order of the Garter, they talk about how, you know, these are only given to people who have served the Queen and have done the bidding of the crown. And then you go and find out, folks. Oh, this is rich. And then you go and find out, guess who was... I can't even say this without laughing because it's so ridiculous. Guess who was inaugurated into the Order of the Garter in the 1990s? George Herbert Walker Bush. Your former president, Bush 41. So... So by their own admission, anyone inaugurated in the Order of the Garter is only done so because they have proven their loyalty to the Queen and proven their loyalty to the British Crown. I mean, look around us, folks. We're going into receivership into England. They're taking back what they think is theirs. We've had British troops training in Fort Leavenworth, Kansas. Mainstream news. Training on city streets and states grids. When they crash this monetary system, what's coming, folks? When this country's insolvent to the Central European bankers, what do you think they're going to do? They're going to send their troops in here, and they're going to take back what's theirs. So, of course, Bush 41 and the Clintons, who they call their son, and now George W. Bush, and then Barack Obama, who, by the way, Barack Obama is a bloodline relative on his mother's side to Dick Cheney and to President Peanut Farmer Carter and the guys related to everybody from, you know, I don't know, like six former presidents. He's related again to Dick Cheney. The guy's related to, you know, Justin Timberlake. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. They only put people in charge, and that you're only given a choice from someone who is going to kill this country and who's going to do it right. And that's who's been in charge. That's who's been in charge for a long time, and it is all about these bloodlines. From Homo sapiens was only meant for slave labor and couldn't breed. Later on, this was changed. Y'all didn't like, though, how his created race was treated and wanted to enlighten them by telling them who they were and where they came from. He also wanted to tell them the well-hidden truth that each individual in a spirit is a spirit inhabiting a body, and that after that body, death, the spirit lives on and reincarnates on Earth. Ea's superiors didn't agree to this, but they were afraid of chaos and turmoil, but Ea told them anyway. The early Homo sapiens revolted against their masters, but were forced to retire. Ea then started this secret society called the Brotherhood of the Snake to enlighten people in secret. But he was discovered and judged by their laws, which meant Ea was deported to Earth for eternity to die here and be reborn in endless cycles, using fragile, short-lived human bodies. If this is right, he might still be here. Now, this is all information, again, coming from the ancient Sumerian scriptures. And if this person, Ea, who brought down this knowledge and gave this knowledge to man, which was allegedly, according to the Sumerian text, deported to Earth for eternity, then enforced to die here and be reborn here in endless cycles that could only be human bodies, this leads credence to why we've seen things like Viracocha in South America. Same thing, the Fisher Kings. That's what they called them. And, of course, you know, you see the little fish being a symbol of Jesus. Same thing. The Fisher Kings, Viracocha, Onas, Quetzalcoatl, Enki. All of these were different incarnations, Buddha, throughout the world that taught the same teachings. And it had the same stories of the virgin birth and the resurrection and all this stuff and the crucifixion, much as Jesus did. So I find that interesting when you can look at all these ancient texts from around the world, knowing that there was no internet, there was no way for anyone to have communicated these ideas to each other, And then the Sumerian texts talk about how Yah was forced to reincarnate different bodies and attempt to bring knowledge to humans. And it's absolutely unbelievable. And this is the core of all religions, folks. This is the core. This is what they don't want you to know. This is what the priest class has kept hidden from the human population, because they do not want you to know that the information for our own enslavement is there, but it's being kept from us. This is what our goal has to be, is to get this ancient knowledge and this hidden knowledge into the hands of those who will not use it for the enslavement of mankind and will use it for the enlightenment and the unenslavement of mankind. And until we know who we're up against, who has this knowledge, and we do have an idea, we will never be able to formulate solutions. Yes, we can talk about getting involved at the local level. Yes, we can talk about taking our government, take our country back. But are we going to be able to take our souls back? Are we going to be able to take back what is ours and what we're meant to do? I believe that we will. Because the dark only lasts for so long. Eventually, folks, the sun has to come up and light is going to shine on these cockroaches, and they're going to go scatter. Out of the original Brotherhood came Freemasonry, the Rosicrucians, the Knights Templars, the Ordo Templi Orientis, the Knights of Malta, and more. They all knew on the highest grades the truth about the origin of man and that we all are spiritual beings and thus immortal. They know God is the real and only source, but they distorted that power as we let them deceive us and use the power that we have inside of us for their evil purposes. This knowledge is a very well-kept secret. And they have done everything in their power to hide the truth from people. And one must say they succeeded quite well. People who, for some reason or another, have stumbled across this road to truth have either been ridiculed, slandered, or even killed. Final segment news blitz on this edition of the Global Reality right around the corner for you, right here on the We the People Radio Network. Stay with us.
The Alex Jones Show, broadcast live from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Central, Monday through Friday, right here on We the People Radio Network.
And for being with us on this late night edition of the show, this program airs midnight, 2 a.m. Central Standard Time every Saturday night, right here on the We the People Radio Network. And also, I'm on Monday through Friday, 1 to 4 p.m. Central Standard Time over on the TruthNet Radio Network. So you can check us out there. And if you just like an alternative, let's say, you can definitely check us out. MySpace.com/globalrealityshow. That's MySpace.com/globalrealityshow. And globalrealityshow@gmail.com. So we want to thank everybody for checking out. Also check out roguegovernment.com and blacklistednews.com. Big final segment news blitz for you here on this edition of the broadcast. I had this one thing I wanted to get into, and I didn't have a chance to get into it. We'll get into this next week. Crop circle formation, which depicts the Mayan calendar and December 12, 2012. Didn't have a chance to get into that tonight. Perhaps we'll talk about that next week. But it is yet again time for another
final segment news list
right here on the Global Reality of the We the People Radio Network. Vanity Fair editor arrested for infiltrating elite private club. Vanity Fair writer Alex Shomanoff got himself arrested for crashing Bohemian Grove, a private men's club in Northern California for the upper echelon of the rich and powerful. He was there to spy on the three-week camp they hold every July, where said rich and powerful relax while living in tents in their private woods. And that pretty much speaks for itself. But yeah, he's attempted to infiltrate and got caught. I guess he wasn't quite as slick as Alex Jones was. But yeah, that article's up on roguegovernment.com right now. You can go check that out there. This was another one that I just thought was unbelievable. Not really unbelievable, but just sort of like, okay, what's the big deal? Army to shoot live pigs for medical drill. The Army says it's critical to saving the lives of wounded soldiers. Animal rights activists call the training cruel and outdated. Despite opposition by the people for the ethical treatment of animals, the Army is moving forward with its plan to shoot live pigs and treat their gunshot wounds in a medical trauma exercise Friday at the Schofield Barracks for soldiers headed to Iraq. Now, you know what? I only have one thing to say about this article. We'll move on to the rest of the news I have to get into. Folks, you better be glad that they're not doing this to little kids, or they're not doing this to, you know, veterans or something. I'm not trying to be funny. I'm being serious here. I mean, these people are out of their minds insane, folks. I mean, I wouldn't put it past them. They start taking vets out of veterans' homes and taking them out and shooting on them for medical drills. I mean, you better be glad they're not doing that. That's probably coming. That's probably 3 or 4 years down the pipe, wouldn't you think? I mean, blood sacrifice, and again, we'll get into that, too, as well in future broadcasts, is the blood sacrifice aspect of what the New World Order does. I mean, everything is about blood sacrifice to these people, folks. That's all they care about, death and destruction. I mean, it is absolutely unbelievable what these people will do. Alaskans suffer nation's highest gasoline prices. Think you're feeling the pain of the gas pump? Consider the residents of Lime Village, Alaska, an isolated Delanian Alabaskan Indian community where gasoline prices have hit $8.55 a gallon. The price is severely curtailing movement around the interior Alaska village, where four-wheelers are sitting idle, and nobody's going on joyrides, that's for sure. And again, I could spend 2 hours talking about that alone and how the American people need to wake up to the fact that, this is not about an oil shortage, but yet you're going to be sold this floating global warming thing, this cult of global warming by Al Gore. And, we were talking about the priest class. Well, folks, that's what the priest class also is hidden from you. They've hidden from you the fact that they have this knowledge of planetary cycles. The ancient priest class had knowledge of planetary cycles. I mean, there's depictions of the planets and astronomy and astrology in Sumeria, folks, way, 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 way centuries before telescopes. How did they get that information? Where did it come from? But these people in the priest class have knowledge of planetary cycles. They know about planetary events that happen on a cycle that have happened forever in the history, all in the history of Earth. They also know more of these planetary changes are coming. They know about sunspot cycles, there being no sunspots right now, virtually none. So these heating and cooling cycles happen. And this elite priest class knows this, but yet they will turn it into this cult of global warming and convince you that what we need is a global carbon tax, when in reality, it's two things. One, planetary heating and cooling cycles. Two, a devaluation of the dollar and a pretext to merge us with the European Union, merge us with the euro, and take us into the transatlantic alliance. That's the final play of the New World Order. Look, the North American Union has already been here. It's already here. Colin Powell signed us into the North American Union on 9/11. Don't believe me? Go to a search engine, type North American Union ushered in under the smokescreen of 9/11, something like that. Or NAU ushered in under smokescreen of 9/11, Josh Reeves, Michael Bell. Go type that into the search engine. You'll find an article there. It was posted up on InfoWars and other websites where Michael Bell and myself tore this apart and got all the information documenting that we have been in the North American Union since 9/11, but they're not going to tell you that. See, you won't know until it's too late that we are in the transatlantic alliance. This is going to be the final play of how they're going to sell us on how to combat the new Eastern Bloc, which is the Shanghai Cooperation Organization. They're the ones that are bidding for control of the New World Order. The New World Order is essentially a foregone conclusion. Who will control it is not. And the Central European bankers, the Rothschilds, they don't care who controls it. Folks, they benefit either way. They fund every side of every war. They're just going to sit back and watch it play out. They don't care if it's the Eastern Bloc that controls the New World Order. They don't care if it's the transatlantic alliance with the United States, North America, the European Union, Israel, fighting over World War III over each other. Death and destruction ensues. That's all the better for them. They don't care, because they benefit either way. And the New World Order and their plan for it is going to go on into the future unimpeded. But that's why, it's important that you get the word out about these radio shows, about We the People Radio Network. Spread the message. Let everyone know. Get us up on micro-FM, because the only way we're going to stave these people off, folks, is to let them know that we're on to them at every single level. And we are now. And we're going to continue to do so. And we're going to continue to wake people up about every level. Past, present, future, secret knowledge, all of it. Kucinich to investigate police surveillance of protest groups. Representative Dennis Kucinich, who has figured prominently in recent political news, for his attempts to begin impeachment hearings against President George W. Bush today announced that the congressional subcommittee he chairs will look into reports of peace groups being surveilled by police and private investigators. And you know, I don't agree with any politician 100% on every issue. I don't think a politician is going to solve our problems. The Ron Paul campaign was a great thing to get behind because it got more people into our ideologies and more people onto this. And, you know, again, this arcane idea of freedom and liberty. I mean, I can't believe that is an arcane idea, but it has been. Up until Ron Paul. Ron Paul changed all that and is going to continue to change that. But, you know, Kucinich, who is anti-Second Amendment, but has done some other work. Some of this impeachment stuff, I think, is too little too late. But you know what? At least he's doing something. At least he's doing something. I don't like to stand on gun control, but, you know, I guess that's either here or there. But the fact that he's doing anything and looking into this, you know, monitoring of protesters, I think is an awesome thing. ChicagoTribune.com, new airport security devices see through clothes. Particularly embarrassing graphic full body scans to begin in the fall at O'Hare. So air travelers in Chicago will soon, literally, folks, be exposed to a revealing full body scan before boarding planes. The new procedure, which is sure to make some passengers blush and others burn in anger over what critics call a virtual reality strip search, is part of a security evolution at airport passenger checkpoints around the country. This is another thing. I mean, this is the main reason why this country should be mad as hell for the lie we were sold on 9/11. But I mean, this, again, 9/11 wasn't just like, okay, let's pull up 9/11 so we can track and trace everybody. These people have been wanting to do this for decades. I mean, I challenge you if you can find it. It's pretty hard to find, but if you can find a copy of Brendan Brzezinski's 1969 book, Between Two Ages, and that's, of course, where we are right now, folks. We are between two ages. We're at the end of an old age and moving into another. We're on the cusp of the great change. That's where we're at. But in that book in 1969, he talks about being able to chemically alter humans so that it would be not quite a man and less of a man, but still be able to be controlled through chemicals. And he also mentions that at the end of the 20th century and into the beginning of the 21st century, that there would be a worldwide computer system that would be able to track and trace every person, every citizen, everywhere they went, and how this information would be available at will to law enforcement, government officials, or anyone else. And what have we seen? Right on time, folks. He wrote that in 1969 in his Club of Rome-sponsored book. And right on time, right after 9/11, we saw this happen. So that's what this is a part of, and this is why people need to be hobby men. Brown flies to Israel for talks. Gordon Brown has flown to Tel Aviv for 2 days of talks with Israel and Palestinian political leaders. Well, he's just going to go make sure that the genocide is going well and that the genocide that's coming in Iran will go well also. I mean, look, folks. Gordon Brown, the family God took over to there. He said,
did you read this?